Okay, so welcome everybody. It's really great. It feels like such a long time that I last talked to you, and I know it was back in November, so that is kind of a long time ago. A lot's happened since that point in time. And so I'd like to welcome you to our conference call. I'm hosting it from the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Tonkwatchin Council, way over in Whitehorse, where we've had some interesting action over the past week with balloons flying overhead and stuff like that. So a little bit of a bizarre week. But if you can open the online document that I mentioned or have it printed in front of you, that's great. And if you're able to enter the chat room and join Rachel and I, you do that through your computer. You click on the link for activity number 2 that says conference call. And when that link opens, you scroll to the bottom and go enter the chat now. So if you do have a computer, that's great to do that. So what I'd like to do then is just introduce you to the learning event. We'll do a quick round of introductions. You guys now know each other way better because you spent a whole week and you've traveled together. So introductions and chatting on the phone are usually much easier after you get to know each other better. And then we're going to talk a little bit about your community engagement projects, because that's your next part coming up in your program, and how this learning event, what we're going to do over the next few weeks, will help you plan and design and then deliver your own community engagement project. So CE 101, Deliver Programs and Events, the learning event we're doing right now, it's supposed to help you learn how to plan and deliver programs, activities, or special events in your community. And what we're going to do is we're going to start off and go through some of the content for the week after introductions, and then I'm going to save some time at the end of the call for Henry to answer any questions that you might have about your community engagement project. So what I'd like to do is start by going around the circle. I'm going to do it by community, because some of you, there's more than one person in the community. So we're going to start with Kingite and then go to Baker Lake, then Cambridge Bay, and then Coral Harbor. And if anybody joins in, we'll add them into that loop. So for when it's your turn to introduce yourself, what I'd like to do is you just need to tell us your name again. It helps me start to recognize your voice a little bit. And then share your best memory from the Arctic Winter Games. So as not to put Mitch and Kelly and anyone else from Kingite on the spot, I'll start because I've gone to Arctic Winter Games before as a coach. And also when they were in Whitehorse, I was in charge of the biathlon venue. And my favorite memory from that, which was in 2012, was the Russian team didn't fill out their paperwork right to get their rifles into Canada. And it took 3 days, and we worked really hard to get them their rifles. They had to borrow some for the first couple of competitions. And then I just remember how happy the Russian coach was when we managed to get them their rifles. And he actually gave me a pair of skis at the end that I still have. So that was my favorite memory. So let's go over to Kingite. Mitch, Kelly, and if Manu or Kaku have joined you, if you guys would just like to say your name and your favorite memory or best memory from Arctic Winter Games.
Yeah, it's Mitchell. I'll start. I guess my best memory, I had a great time. There's lots of good memories, but one of them is the U18 boys hockey winning gold and the youth ambassadors all being able there to cheer them on, and all the parents and family and friends from Nunavut that were able to be there. It was a pretty exciting experience. And just, you know, Manu just messaged me, but he's going to try to log on through his own phone because he was like 25 minutes walk from me. So just, you know.
Okay.
But
that's great.
That's everything from Kinect. Yeah.
What a great memory. I saw that on the news, and I was just so excited for Nunavut. That's just so exciting. So thanks for sharing that. Did Kelly want to share? Kelly, did you want to share anything?
Well, I didn't get to go. They just wanted me. No, they didn't need any more female chaperones. So hopefully next year we'll have some females that are youth ambassadors, and I'll get to go. Yeah.
So your favorite memory was saying goodbye to everybody and sort of hearing all their stories when they came back.
Yes, exactly. That was so great hearing what a good time they had. No, but the boys, they really did. Such an amazing experience for the three students. I'm so happy for them.
Oh, that's so great. So Manny's not on yet. Paschal is not there with you, is he, Mitch?
No, I had basketball practice and I totally forgot to remind him on the way out, so I just messaged his
okay.
name, but yeah, hopefully.
That's totally okay. Well, let's go over to, Rachel in Baker Lake. I just said your name, so I guess we know who's talking next. But Rachel, what was your favorite memory?
I think I would have to say favorite memory was seeing my friends from last year and also being able to actually volunteer in a sport rather than just doing access control.
Oh, that's great. What sport did you work with?
I worked with volleyball. I did ball catching.
Oh, that's awesome. So you got to stay sort of in the volleyball venue and be part of all of that and that excitement and see all the different teams play.
Yeah.
And see some of the people that you met last year, right? So when you went to Canada Summer Games?
Yeah.
Aw, that's wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing that. Sienna, I've got you next on my list in Cambridge Bay. What was your favorite memory from Arctic? And Sienna, I'm not sure, you might be muted on your phone. So if you are, you just either press star 6 or unmute on your phone. Okay, I think maybe I can't hear Sienna right now. So Sienna, if you are on the phone and still hearing us, you might want to hang up and phone back in again because I'm not sure why it's not, I can see that you're still on there. So we'll come back around. And let's go to Coral Harbor then, over to Katie and Mark. What were your favorite memories?
My favorite moment from the game was pin trading, meeting new friends, and watching the U18 boys win gold.
Awesome. What was the crowd like when they won gold?
It was crazy, man. Like, everyone was cheering. I was one of them. I lost my voice.
Awesome. Did you? I think that's a first, too. And beating, wasn't it Alaska that they beat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. So excellent. Thanks, Mark. Katie, how about you? What was your favorite memory?
Mine was watching the Denny games. Watching the U18 and U15 boys, and especially the gold medal game for U18.
Okay. What a great way to end, right?
Yeah.
And did you help a little bit everywhere, or were you helping with Denny games the same way as Rachel helped with volleyball?
Maybe everywhere. I think it was everywhere.
Yeah. I bet it was a busy week. Yeah, well,
why?
Thanks for sharing. That's
thank
great.
You.
And I think our friend Sienna dropped off the call, so we'll just see if she joins us back again. So thanks. What an experience that was for you guys, and to see history being made with the U18 boys winning hockey. Like, every time, you know, there's that type of medal experience, it's pretty special and going to get written down forever for history, so that's great. So let's go on and move into sort of where we're at. So if you think about those games that you just went to, you can imagine that a lot of planning went into those games. So they probably started planning them and working on them back about in 2017 or 2018. I wonder, is somebody trying to join the call? I just hear some beeping. It sounds like a busy tone, so I'm not quite sure what that is, but we'll see. There we go. So, as you know, like, those games were supposed to happen last March, and they were postponed. So just imagine in your mind how long they were planning those for, probably at least 4 years, and they were a one-week event. So it shows you that it's really, really important to plan and design what you're going to do very well before you actually do it. And you'll want to think of the same sort of example, not as big as Arctic Winter Games, but when you do your community engagement project, it's more likely to be successful if you put the time into designing it well and planning it, knowing what you're going to do before you jump in and do it. So in activity one, that where you guys were asked to choose why you would design before you deliver an activity, I found it really interesting to read your answers. So almost everybody said one of your top reasons was that when you design and plan something properly, you're much more confident at leading it or delivering it. And then you also said that it's important because designing it properly makes sure that it's safe for the people who are going to participate. And it also means that you can design things that are more appealing or interesting to people of all different ages and people who might like to do a variety of different things. So you're totally right in the choices that you made in that. When you design or plan first, it's more likely that everyone, and yourself included, will have a successful, safe, and enjoyable experience. So before we start to look at some of the steps that can help you design your community engagement project, I'd like to just go around our circle, which I know is fairly small today, and that's okay, and invite you to share what you think you might do for your project if you have an idea. If you don't have an idea yet, just say, I'm still working on my idea. That's totally okay. There's nothing wrong with not knowing what you want to do yet. So let's start again with Kingite. So Mitch, do you have any idea what Andy, Kaspar, and Manu are planning for their community engagement project?
Yeah, so we already did one project, since there's three of them, in December. The boys reached out for a grant, and they got $1,000, and they went out and bought Christmas care packages for elders, and we delivered them before I left at Christmas, Kelly and I. So we with the guys. So we delivered 10 care packages to 10 different elders in the community. So that was one thing we done. And then the second thing that the boys mentioned they wanted to do was the Saturday sports at our school, but incorporating the elementary students, so the grade 5s and 6s. And they talked about that they would make a poster posted in the elementary school, but also have translations available for the radio to announce so that parents and elders could hear and tell their grandkids and kids. So they plan to do 3 or 4 sessions at the high school. Kelly and I will go be available to open the doors, and then they're going to apply for funding so then they can have food at each Saturday event. So we're going to apply for the funding, which we already were told that we would receive, so they just have to put in an application, and then we'll use that money for food and snacks after we finish the Saturday sports every Saturday.
That sounds great. How many grade 5 and 6 showing up?
So typically about 40. So it's quite a bit. So we'll do it in the afternoon, 2 hours, and just switch it up. We do different games every week, so they can do games and then offer like pizza or burgers, grilled cheese and stuff afterwards.
Oh, that sounds like a perfect combination. Get them all active and then give them some healthy food and then send them home.
Exactly, yeah.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that with us. Rachel, over to you in Baker Lake. Have you thought about what you might like to do this year for your community engagement project?
I've decided on doing a mini volleyball tournament.
Oh, that's great. Like over one weekend or a day or?
I'm not sure yet, but it would probably be on a weekend. It might be the whole weekend.
So when you say many, does that mean there's not six people on a team or on the court at a time, but there's less, like a smaller court size or a smaller team number?
So it'll be six or seven for a team, depending if they want subs or not. But by many, I mean, like, it won't be, like, a huge tournament. It'll just have, like, a few teams. I'm not sure yet, though.
That's great. Yeah, there's lots of ways that with a, you know, a sports tournament, you can change things up, right? Like, you can make it, the tournament can be the number of points that you actually get rather than the number of games you win or things like that. So there's different ways of doing it. So that's a great idea. Thank you. Let's go over to Katie and Mark. Are you guys working together on a community engagement project, or do you think you'll do something different, each of you?
Yeah, we're planning to do it together, and what we're planning to do is a mini soccer or volleyball tournament. It would probably be over the weekends, and yeah.
That's great. So sort of the same idea as what Rachel's talking about, but hers is with volleyball and yours is soccer or volleyball or both?
Yeah, it might be soccer or volleyball. We'll plan it out.
That's great. And for, like, Rachel being something for Katie and Mark, if you guys need some funding for that, one of the places you can go is your territorial sport organization or TSO. So volleyball Nunavut, soccer Nunavut, and let them know what you're doing. And because you're a youth and you're taking the initiative to run a tournament, they should be able to at least send you some jerseys or send you some money to buy prizes or food or something like that. So make sure you take the time to reach out to them, and you might want to add that in your checklist of things to do and see if they can support you in any way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I've got somebody else on the call, but it doesn't show me the phone number. So is there somebody I missed out of this round of our circle that's on the call?
Hi, Gavin.
Okay.
Here and Kevin. Chesterfield in there.
Awesome. Hi, Gavin and Kevin. Is Kayak with you too, or just the two of you?
The two of us.
Excellent. So you probably just heard that we were going around and sharing what people were thinking of doing for their community engagement project. In Chesterfield, are you guys doing one together, or are you doing them separately?
No. We're doing, or Kevin, this is Kevin speaking, doing a ping pong tournament.
I'm still trying to remember what I'm doing for Gavin.
Okay, so Gavin, you sort of had some ideas, but you haven't settled on one yet?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, this learning event might help you figure out what you want to do, so hopefully. And Kevin, you may have just heard me suggest that to Rachel and Mark and Katie about approaching their territorial sport organization, or TSO, to help support the tournament in some way or another. So that's something that you might want to try and reach out and do too, if there's the opportunity to find the people. I don't know if table tennis is on its own in Nunavut or if it's under badminton. Henry, do you know?
Not super familiar with it, but I think table tennis does have its own organization. I can reach out to the coaches because I do know who they are, so I can touch base and connect them if they need you.
Yeah. Because Kevin, it'd be always great, like maybe you need some new ping pong equipment or some snacks or prizes or something like that. And the TSOs, or territorial sport organizations, are supposed to help support sport development in all communities in Nunavut. So it's worth asking. If you don't ask, you don't know if you'll maybe get something or not. So thanks for joining us today then, Gavin and Kevin. Okay, so moving on, it's great to hear that you guys have some ideas or are working on ideas for your community engagement project. I'd like to take just a couple of minutes now to work at how, or some steps or a process that you can use to design your project and put it into action. And as we just mentioned, you can imagine how long it took to plan 1 week Arctic Winter Games. So putting time into planning and designing is really, really important. So in the learning event, there's the presentation slides that you click at the top. And slide 9 in those has something that's listed. It shows 6 steps that you can follow. And this week, we're going to look at the first 3 steps. And one way that I like to remember words to remind me of what I'm supposed to be doing, so I picked the word program because that's something that you might design or deliver. So not quite the same as a volleyball tournament or an activity that happens at one point in time, but it's still, you can still remember it through the word program. So if you think about it, I don't know if you guys have it in front of you, but you probably looked at it because I've seen everybody sort of dug around in the learning event. So 5.10 introduces P, and P stands for purpose. So the purpose is about what you're going to do. So if you think about the purpose for what you're planning, that's why would you deliver this? Who's it for? How will you do it? And what are the major benefits? So if we use Mitch's example, because he gave me quite a bit of detail, so maybe I can pull that out, and then anyone else can jump in and share their purpose. So Mitch, the purpose of the program that you're going to be planning, or the boys are going to be planning, is to get grade 5s and 6s more active, bring them out together, get them to try some different sports. Is that kind of how you would describe the purpose?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. So it doesn't have to be complicated, but your purpose is your first attempt at describing what it is you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and who's it for. So let's pick another example. So Rachel, you said a mini volleyball tournament. So what I would ask is, you know, who are you doing it for? Like what ages maybe, or who's it designed for? Is it a girls only? Is it for people under the age of 19, is it for adults? So you could explain that. And then you could say what the major benefits are. So, you know, maybe for a tournament, which the rest of you were sort of talking about, it brings people together, it's social, it gives them something fun to do on the weekend. So try and imagine why you're doing that, and that's the purpose. I forgot to mention, if you have any questions as I'm talking, if you press star 2 on your phone, I have the phone numbers on my computer screen, and it kind of puts your hands up on my screen, and then I can you can try that if you have a question or you want to add something to the conversation. So if you go to the next slide, which is number 11, and so we've gone from P, now the next letter is R for results. Results are what you think might happen, so what you're going to make. So if you, for example, Mitch, you talked about the Christmas baskets. So the results were 10 Christmas baskets for elders. So those are the results. We've got a number. We know how many baskets and who got them and things like that. So I wonder, does anyone want to share with me what results you might get from your project? How about Katie and Mark? What do you think you might get? Like how many people will you get joining in your volleyball or soccer tournament? How many people do you think will jump in?
Probably like 4.
Our estimate is probably like 30 to 45 people.
Oh, awesome. So 30 to 45 people participate. What ages will they be?
Any
you
age.
Can just
like,
okay.
Could, yeah. Any age or so, even like U19.
So were adults welcome to play as well as youth?
Yes.
That's great. So those are some of the results you're looking for. So your results of having a volleyball tournament or a soccer tournament in your community is that you get 30 to 45 people from your community out participating, being active, having a fun time together, and it doesn't matter what age they are, they can all participate. So that's if you're asking people for money or support, it's really great to be able to explain to them what you think might happen. So that's something you guys will do this week for next week is you'll think about those results. So thank you for sharing that. Let's see, Kevin, do you and Gavin want to think about or share what you think the results might be from a ping pong tournament? Like, how many people do you think will come out to your tournament?
If I have to be honest, like, less than 10, because there's everybody's in hockey in this town.
But still, you might get 10 people out to your tournament who don't like to play hockey, and then that's a good thing, right? Because not everybody likes to play hockey. And will it be open, will your tournament be open for anybody of any age, or is it for families, or for elementary school, or who's it for?
It'd be grade 9 and up.
Okay, so grade 9 and up. Great, so for youth probably then. That's great, thank you. So those are some of the things that you think might be the results from what you're going to do in your community engagement project. Once you decide on what your purpose, so P for program and R for results are, what you want to do is create an outline, and that's a little bit more work than figuring out your purpose and your results. So there's a description of what we're looking for on a few of the slides, so you can look at it after the call or when you start working on yours. So in an outline, we want to look at what you're going to do, when you will do it. So I'm going to do it on the weekend. I'm going to do it for 4 Friday nights. I'm going to do it. So the what, the when, where you will do it. It will be at the school gym. It will be at the community hall. It will be outside in the community at the playground. Like those types of things are where, and who will participate. So you just shared with me, you know, about 10 people, grade 9 and up, or anybody can come out and join. So it's really good to have that outline of kind of what you're going to do, when, where, and who. And the who can also be who's going to lead it. So if you're working on this by yourself, like Kevin, if you're doing one and Gavin's doing something different, where it says leader or leaders, you'll probably put your name and maybe your mentor, Glenn, might be helping you. You know, Katie and Mark, you guys are working together, so you probably, both of you, list your name as leaders when you're creating your outline for your tournament or your community engagement project. Am I making sense so far? Does anyone have any questions? This is a hard part to sort of explain over the phone, so hopefully you'll go and look at it afterwards and it'll make a bit more sense when you look at it. So from an outline, then you can start to figure out what it is that you need to do for your project. So you can start to figure out, well, I need to get equipment. I need to, Mitch, you talked about posters. You know, you talked about like getting interpretation or translations, right? So that people can, everybody can know about the activity. You might need to get permission from a school to hold it there, your tournament or something like that. So it's really important to figure out all the things you need to do. And as you guys know, living in your community, sometimes if you need something that you can't get in your community, you have to plan a long time ahead for it. I heard a story from Cambridge Bay, and they had a whole bunch of Christmas games going on just before Christmas, and they ordered their things, and then the flights didn't come in, and none of their supplies made it in time because the flights were, like, they should have ordered them probably a month earlier. So it's really important to plan, you know, what you need and when you need to get that. So we're going to take a bit of time figuring out some of the things you might need to get and some of the things you might need to do for your community engagement projects. So for this conference call, we have something called a Northern Programs and Events Checklist. And if you happen to have it in front of you, that's great. If you don't worry about it at all. We're just going to share ideas. And Henry, if it's okay, I'm going to ask you maybe to pop the ideas down and capture them so I can, you know, sort of facilitate the conversation and you capture them in writing. That would be super helpful.
Yep,
does that work for you, Henry? Okay. Do you have the document online available or on paper?
For the checklist, I have it in front of me here. I can write it down.
Okay, that's super. Thanks. So what we're going to do is mm-hmm. we're just going to go around our circle. There's no right or wrong answer. And you just choose something that you think you need to get or something you need to do. And it could be before your program or project, during your program or project, or afterwards. So I'll give you an example of each one of those. So before, you might need to make sure you have permission to use a space where you're going to hold your activity. So if it's sports, maybe it's the school gym and you need to have permission. So you have to do that before. Maybe during, they said, well, you're responsible for keeping everything clean and making sure the garbage goes out. So that's something that you have to do during. And after, maybe you write a thank you card or go and give somebody a thank you, little gift for thanking them for their help or for letting you use their space or something like that. So there's lots of things when we run a community engagement project or any type of recreation or sport program or activity or event that we have to do. So we're going to go around our circle. I'll just go in the same order, which is community order. So Katie and Mark, I'm going to slide Gavin and Kevin in just before you. So we'll go from Kingite to Baker Lake to Chesterfield to Coral Harbor. And no right or wrong answer. Just tell me one thing that you might either have to get or do when you're planning and delivering your community engagement project. And just one thing at a time, and then we'll come back around until we've got a good chunk of ideas. So Mitch and Kelly, what are some things that, one thing to start with, that you might need to get or do for the Saturday sports?
Actually, so we got Manu and Caswell both come in a little bit ago, so I'll pass it off to Manu first.
Awesome. So not to put you on the spot or anything, but if you're planning your Saturday sports program over 4 weeks, what's something you have to think about? You either have to get it or you have to do it to make sure that this community engagement project is successful.
Running some sports through the weekend, you have to advertise through posting and posting some posters and some posts online.
Awesome. So, and that you can break that apart into even more things. So you said advertising, posters, and online. So that means you might have to do some online advertising and walk around the community and put up posters as well. Mitch also mentioned translation, so you might have to translate some of those things too. And if you put up posters, sometimes you have to go back afterwards and take them down so they don't end up floating around town on the wind. So there's lots of things around advertising. That's great. And was that Manu who said that or Tesla? Great. Thanks, Manu. Kasla, what's something that you think you might need to get or do to make sure that your community engagement project runs well?
We need to budget the food that we're going to buy.
Yeah, because food's not cheap anymore, right? So we have to know, if you get $1,000, what can you buy with it? And will it be enough if you're going to have 40 or 50 grade 5 and 6 students who are probably hungry at the end of the day? So really good point. And around budgeting, too, you also have to, it sounds like you guys have an application form to fill out. So to get money, you might have to fill out an application form for funding. So thanks for that. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Rachel. Rachel, what's one thing that you might have to get or do to make sure that your community engagement project runs well?
I know that I'm going to have to speak to the principal sometime about using the gym in the high school, and I know that I'll have to do some advertising.
That's great. And with the gym, you probably have to ask them pretty far in advance, right? Because they're usually a lot of people wanting to use it.
Yeah, and I also think that there's weekend sports, so I'm going to have to do that sometime soon.
Yeah, it's hard when you rely on having something go on in a facility and it's you know, lots of people like to use that facility. So, and then when you're using that facility, do you have to have like a teacher there with you, or do you have to have like a key so that you lock up? Do you have to clean up, or are there things that you have to do around using that facility?
Usually when there's events like this, the school will have the teachers volunteer to have like shifts during the evening. So I think that they'll be doing something like that for this event.
Okay. So then you also have to make sure you kind of find a teacher who will come and help you out. So that's some other things to add to the checklist for sure. Let's go to Chesterfield to Gavin and Kevin. And Gavin, I know you're still sort of coming up with ideas about what you want to do. What do you guys think, what are some of the things that you might have to do to make sure that your community engagement project is successful? Do you have any ideas?
Probably ask permission to use the school gym and post it on social media.
That's right. So social media, is that a good way to get a word out in your community?
Yeah.
Awesome. Was that Gavin speaking or Kevin? Sorry.
Gavin.
Okay. And Kevin, is there anything you have to do? Like if you're running a tournament that's a sports tournament, do you have to do anything around equipment?
What? Gavin almost tripped and couldn't hear it.
No, Caroline, that was Kevin speaking earlier.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
So Gavin, I was just wondering, like, if you run a sports tournament, what do you have to do about equipment?
I'm hoping to help Kevin with the ping pong tournament.
So do you guys have enough, like, ping pong tables and what are they called, paddles and balls? Or would you have to order some, or do you have to count them to make sure you've got enough, or what do you have to do?
We already have a ping pong table at the school and enough ping pong paddles and ping pong balls to use.
Okay, that's good. So you would just need to make sure that you know where all of them are. I know sometimes in communities, equipment makes its way somewhere else and we go to use it and it's not where we think it is. So, you know, maybe checking your equipment before your tournament happens just to make sure it's all where you think it is, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Let's go over to Coral Harbor then. Katie and Mark, from each of you, what is something you might need to get or do to make sure that your tournament, whether it's volleyball or soccer, is runs really well and is successful?
Ask for sponsors from the Northern Store or Newly's Place.
And volunteers.
Sponsors and volunteers, awesome. Katie, what sorts of things do you ask your sponsors to give you or sponsor you for?
Money and better equipment.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And do they ever give you, like, refreshments or food or anything, or is it mostly just money and equipment?
Yeah, they give us, like they...
They, like, drinks.
Come on, Mark, she's asking me.
Go ahead, Katie, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, I was going to say drinks like Gatorades, and at least, and they give water, fruits, like oranges and apples.
Oh, that's great. It sounds like they're happy to donate some healthy snacks then, too, right?
Yeah, especially our principal here.
Oh, okay. And so if you have somebody who sponsors your event, what do you do during the event to recognize them? Like, would you put a logo up, or would you say a thank you in front of everybody to them, or how do you do that?
Yeah, something like that. Put out a poster or even a built, say, I like a speech.
Yeah. The key thing, it was awesome because Oregon Spring gave us this and the co-op gave us this. I don't know if you have both of those in your community, but, you know, and the school donated this and town council donated this. So that's a great way to recognize your sponsors. And, yeah. Mark, you mentioned getting volunteers. How do you get volunteers? What do you have to do?
We just asked local people if they wanted to help us with the event, and we either could pay them or they could do it for free.
Yeah. And if you're going to pay them, then you probably have to find some money, right, to be able to pay them?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you might also at the end say thank you to your volunteers, right?
Yeah, we would definitely say thank you, because without them, it would have been so hard.
For sure, yeah, and like volunteers are so important in our communities, and sometimes it's hard to get people because they're really busy. So it's important to say thank you. So that's something that we would do after the activity, right? And depending on what we're getting volunteers for, sometimes we have to give them training, right? So for you guys going to Arctic Winter Games, you were volunteering, and you had some training that you had to do before you went. So that was really important as well. You probably don't need to do that in your communities, but if you had somebody who was, say, a referee for volleyball and didn't really know how to play volleyball, you might have to teach them a little bit of the rules first, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's go around our circle one more time and see if you have anything else to add to that. Some of the things that I like to think about is, is there anything else we need to do in the location? Like, you know, do we have to make sure we have cleaning supplies? Do we have to, we've talked about having a teacher there with us. You've also talked about budgets and what you need to do with money. Do you have to report to anybody afterwards? And also, what do you need to do to make sure that your activity or your event is safe? That's another thing. So Manu and Kasua, is there anything else that you can think of that you might need to pay attention to when you're designing your community engagement project?
You have to make sure the activities are timed, punctual.
Yeah, so having a schedule, basically?
Yeah.
Great, thanks. And anything else that you would have to do around that? Like, do you have to make sure you clean up by a certain time, be out of the space by a certain time? Anything else you can think of?
Yes, before and after.
Yeah, before and after for sure. So sometimes we all often think about what we have to do before we do something, but there's also things to do afterwards. So thanks. So I think that you, Manu, who was speaking?
Yep.
And Kasua, is there anything else that you can think of? Like, if you have a whole bunch of grade 5 and 6 students, is there anything that you need to do to make sure they're safe?
Set rules.
Set rules, yeah. Really important, right? It's not a free-for-all. You're not just going to run around and throw balls at each other's heads. So rules are really, really important, whether it's for a tournament or for an activity. So thank you for saying that. That's great. Rachel, is there anything else that you can think of that you would need to do either to make sure that your event is safe or something you would need to do after you'd finished it?
Not that I can think of, but a thing that will be good to have during the event is having first aid training, because I saw it on the checklist on one of the pages. Risk management says, do we have first aid people on site? I don't know first aid people on site, but I'm getting first aid training done, I think, this weekend. So that would be something good to have.
That's great, and it's always important at an event, like a tournament especially, or when you have a lot of grade 5s and 6s together, to know the person who has that first aid training. Because then if something does happen, like it's probably the activities you guys are describing, probably not any bad accidents, but, you know, somebody might get a bleeding nose or something like that, so it's important to have somebody who can help. So thanks for mentioning that, Rachel. Gavin or Kevin, I know we've talked about a lot of things, but is there anything else that you can think of that you'd have to do either before, during, or after your community engagement project?
During the tournament, we'll have to have a few adult supervisors.
Yeah, and will they be volunteers?
Yeah, volunteers.
Okay. Awesome. Anything else, then?
And, yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah? Yeah, and I know we've gone through a lot of them so far. I just thought I'd see if anybody else had any other ideas. And Katie and Mark, is there anything else that you think you might need to do, whether it's before, during, or after your community engagement project? I'm not sure. You guys might be muted still because I can't hear you. Okay, Henry, you can still hear me, right? It's not me that you can't hear?
Yeah, I can still hear you, Carolyn.
Okay. Sometimes I wonder if it's my phone that drops somebody else's, so thank you. not sure if Katie and Mark were muted or not, but one other thing that I think about that we haven't mentioned is figuring out if what you did worked or not, because if something works well, you might want to do it again. So then it's nice to be able to make a couple of notes or write it down. Maybe with your community engagement project, you have a report that you have to share with Henry about how it worked. So figuring out what worked, maybe what didn't, and if you might do it again or not. So a little bit of a feedback or evaluation is sometimes really helpful too. So thanks for everybody's ideas. Henry, I know you've kept track of everything. I don't know if you did it on paper or in the online document, but if it's in paper, if you wouldn't mind putting it into a format that we can share with everybody, that would be great because then that's a checklist and they can use it and read some of the things that we've talked about and decide if it's something that you need to do for your project or not. So that's a good way of looking at it. So before we end our call, I just would like to ask Henry if you wanted to jump in and just give an overview of the community engagement project and answer any questions that people might have.
Yeah, for sure. So thanks, Caroline. I kind of just wanted to touch base with everybody. This is kind of the first time that we've all had a chance to kind of hear from everybody again since the games, but I've heard a lot of great things about the games, and I'm very happy that you guys all had such a great time. In regards to the community engagement project, I know that some of you guys have some big groups, like in Kingite, there's two of you guys over there. In Chester, I know there's three. So in Coral, there's two. So if you guys want to do projects together, that's totally fine as well. We just want to make sure that if you guys are working together as a group, just remember to kind of make sure you're sharing each other's responsibilities and not kind of letting one person do one thing type of thing. You want to make sure everybody's kind of helping out with all of that. The big thing to keep in mind is that we do have quite some time until this project is due, so that's not until April 30th, but as we're going through these conference calls and these assignments, these are all going to be very helpful resources for all of you guys to get some ideas, as Caroline is doing such a good job in getting some ideas out there, and that we can kind of piece things together and really start to start on these projects. So keep that in mind, and as we move forward over the next coming weeks, to just feel free to ask me any questions you guys may have. I may not have all the answers for you guys just yet, but I will try to get back to you as soon as I can. So for now, just try to get to me if you have any questions, and just let me know if you are concerned about anything, or if you need any help, just let me know.
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we have an assignment due 1 week from today? I didn't look ahead, so.
Yeah, so I was
going to
tell you, fill everyone in on that.
Yes, Caroline, sorry. Sorry, Caroline. Go ahead, yeah.
So with this learning event, with Design a Programmer event, there's a template that's 4 pages long, and it helps you design what you're going to do. And the first 2 pages, or Part A, are due next Wednesday. So what you will do is you can find those when you click on the link for number 3. It's due next Wednesday, and you can either download a Word document or get a PDF that you can print out and handwrite in. And then you're going to fill out the first 2 pages. So you're going to decide what you're going to do, give it a title or a name, explain what the purpose is, what the results are that you think you might see, like 30 people participating in grades 5 and 6 or whatever it happens to be. And then you're just going to do your outline. So when is it happening, the date or the dates, the time. So Saturdays, 4 Saturdays from 10 till 2 or from 1 till 4, whatever it is. Location at the local school. Target group might be anybody under 19 years of age. The leaders is you and anyone else who might be helping you run it. And then the summary of activities are the things that you think you might need to do, like what we just talked about today. So what do you need to get? Who do you need to get permission from? Where do you need to advertise, or those sorts of things? So that's the summary of activities, is what you need to do. There are 2 examples in there that you can click on. I've shared one that was a Kids in the Kitchen from Inuvik, and then also a Food for Elders in Iqaluit, which somebody did last year as well. So. And if you need any help with it, ask your mentors, or you can also email me or ask Henry too. So hopefully that's somewhat clear. It might make more sense when you actually go and look at it online. So to wrap up, let's just kind of go around the circle, and if you have a question, let me know. And if not, just say pass, no questions. So I'm going to go in our reverse order. So Katie and Mark, I'm hoping you can still hear us. Do either of you have any questions for Henry or I? Okay, and it sounds like their phone, maybe they're still on, Katie and Mark, but sometimes with Northwest Health, for whatever reason, sometimes somebody can't, like the rest of us can't hear that person. So if you have any questions, just email them to us. Gavin and Kevin, any questions from Chesterfield for Henry or for me?
Nope, no questions.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Rachel, any questions from, oh, sorry, go ahead. Thumbs up from Chesterfield, you guys are good?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. Rachel, do you have any questions for Henry or for myself?
Questions.
You're all good? Okay. And Manu or Kaswa, any questions? I know you guys have done community engagement projects, or at least Manu, you have before. So do you have any questions for myself or for Henry?
No questions on that question.
Okay. I like how you answer that. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for joining today. Necromik, if I say it properly. Quantumik. It's been really great to have you on the call, and I look forward to reading your first activity next week. Share it with me in the best way you can do possible, and then we'll have another conference call in 2 weeks. So welcome back from Arctics, and I hope it's not too cold in your communities today.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. I'll stay on the call for when I stop the recording in case anyone has any other questions.